Christ's precious name, we are so thankful for what Jesus did for us in the past and what he's doing for us presently, interceding, and of course, what he will do for us in the future. I greet you in Jesus' name. I would first like to think of an acronym, LIFE. Live it fully every day, LIFE. That's an acronym, and I think it is scriptural. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I think he wants us to have an enjoyable time on earth, even though it's quite a bit different than what the world might think of as their fun. Ecclesiastes 3 tells us, I'd like to read verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. Life is full of many seasons. And I think that as we go through life, one of the things that we realize as we go through it is that each season has unique privileges and responsibilities of that period in life. Many of us look back to our childhood, and at least if they're like me, we wish we would have enjoyed it more. Because that was a carefree time before responsibilities. But God moves us to other periods, other phases. And in each phase of our life, there are also certain lessons that God wants us to learn. Certain lessons of that period as well. And so, my plea to you this morning is don't waste the season of life that you're in today. Because I think that most of us think that we need to hurry up and get to the next phase of life. You can think back with me to childhood. In childhood, you wanted to hurry and grow up so you could maybe be big enough to drive the lawnmower. And then you wanted to get your license so you could drive on the highway. You wanted to hurry up and go to school. And then after a while, you wanted to hurry up and be old enough to date, to get married. You started courting and you wanted to get married. You got married and took on debt, buying a house and furnishings, and then you wanted to be debt-free. And after a while, we were married and we have blessed with children, and we think it would be nice if our children would grow up, and we'd like to move on. And then after a while, maybe at some point, we're struck with, you know what? I'm passing through these phases and I'm not enjoying life. And life, I'm just wanting to hurry through life. Wait a minute, where is life going? And after a while, I think it's normal for us to want life to slow down a little bit. Now just slow down. Maybe at work, we're employed by someone else, and I wish I could have my own business. Or maybe we're on the other side, we're an employer, and you know what? I wish I could just work for somebody. I think that each of us need to enjoy life where we are today. I had the privilege to ask a few older men, what were the best days of your life? And interestingly enough, I asked Eldon's grandfather that a few months ago when we were over singing at Richland Home. And he thought a little bit and he said, you know what? He said that was in the 40s, I think, or when he was 40. And I asked him what, I wasn't sure if he meant the 40s or when he was 40, and I said, what was it like? Well, he said, that's when his family was all at home. And I said, yeah, but weren't those the toughest years of your life when you were trying to bring an income and raise your children and all the things you were trying to take care of? Yes, they were, but they were the best years. And I think that too many times for me in my state of life, I think, well, these are the toughest times, and I'm looking ahead and to realize that I might be missing the best time of my life because I'm not allowing it to be what God wants it to be. I might miss the blessing of the best times of my life. So this morning for a message, I like to think of time management. Time management. It says in Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time. A time. And I think so many times we don't enjoy the times and season of our life because we're not allowing God to have his way in those things. We have our agenda, and it somehow doesn't fit with his agenda. And also because of a few other things that we're going to talk about here this morning. Time management. Why do we need to talk about time management? Well, if you're like me, we're finite people, meaning we're limited. How many hours do we have in a day? 24. What are we going to put in there? Can we do everything we want to do with today? No. Our time, our money, and our energy are all limited. So we're finite people, and yet the possibilities are almost infinite. They're endless. There's so much to do, and time is running out. Also, another reason why we need to talk about it is because we experience stress and anxiety in our lives when there's a disconnect between our values, like what I want to do, what really matters, and our behavior, which is what we actually do. And the third reason why we need to talk about it, you can turn with me to Ephesians 5. I think we looked at this a few weeks ago in our Sunday school class, but we really didn't spend any time on it, at least in our class. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And I think at this point I'd just like to underline the last phrase. Why do we need to talk about time management? Because God cares. God cares about how we spend our time. It says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will for my time? I think it's a fact that God does not give us more to do than what He expects us to accomplish. He doesn't. He gives us enough time to do what He thinks we should do. Now, it's always true that there is God's will, and then there's other people's will. And I think other people would be glad to employ all of your time to do something for them that they think would be valuable. And sometimes we get sidetracked there because we want to feel important. And as we'd like to feel important, when someone says, hey, come do this, we say, yes, I want to be important, I'll go do it. But as we go, we realize that, you know what, I shouldn't be doing this. This is not really where I'm called to be. And then, of course, we have our will, which we like to feel needed and yet realize that there's only so many things we can do in a day. And sometimes we don't do what we should do with our time. When the daily reality is that our lives are filled with stress and frustration from a time schedule that is out of balance, something is wrong. And I think that God can show us how to live our lives. So I'd like to look at, I believe it's 8 practical pointers for our time management from the Bible. And each of these begin with the phrase, to manage our time wisely, we must. Number one, to manage our time wisely, we must, first of all, understand our purpose. We're back to that thought here in Ephesians 5:17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. There are two groups of people in life. There are the fools and there are the wise. Did you catch that? See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And he goes on to talk about the difference between the two. The difference between being wise or the unwise use of our time is to understand what the will of the Lord is. What does God want me to do today? God has a purpose for my life. The key to redeeming the time is to seize the opportunities. Now, God has put some specific things that He wants each of you to accomplish. I believe that. I believe that God has a specific will for your life. And I think it is important for each of us to understand which of these duties are mine to fulfill. Which is He calling me to do? Jesus understood this in John 6:38. It says, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He was thinking about, what does God want me to do today? And if you're really serious about this, I think we need to spend time in prayer about it. Ask God, what do you want me to do today? as we wake up from day to day, God, show me what you want me to do. What are you asking me to get done today, this week, this month, and, of course, most importantly, in my lifetime, what am I called to fulfill? And if we're frustrated that we don't have enough time, then we're probably trying to do more than what God intended for us to do. So that moves us on to the second point. To manage our time wisely, we must set priorities. Set priorities. Jesus said it this way in Matthew chapter 6. You can turn with me there. Some fairly familiar verses, but I think that they're important to realize that this is a scriptural concept. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And what was he talking about? He was talking about all the physical needs of food and clothing and all of those things. What was he saying? He said, seek ye first. Set your sights first on the kingdom of God. There needs to be a priority in our lives that we place. He was teaching us that if we put God first, the rest will find its place. And that doesn't mean it'll always be easy. But the rest will find its place. You know, that's where I struggle often. I go wrong. I wake up and I think about all the things that I need to do. And it's easy to let God out of my life. I can rush out the door thinking of what I want to accomplish and feel like I'm too busy to ask God. But Proverbs 6 says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy paths. If we stop to acknowledge God, he will give us direction for the day. If we let God out of our life, I think it's only reasonable to expect frustration and failure. It says that God will establish our lives. Take our list and give it to God. I think it is interesting that as we set priorities in our lives, that things will find their place if we put first things first. A good illustration of this is, and you may have heard of it, a professor took a jar. He took a wide mouth jar and he gave his students five big rocks, and he gave them a handful of marbles. And then he gave them some sand and a cup of water, and he said, fit all of this into the jar in 15 seconds. And he said, 1, 2, 3, go. And the group of students each tried to take their jar and stuff this stuff in, and many of them, of course, in their hurry, just dumped maybe the sand first, and then they had the rocks. Well, they couldn't do it. They couldn't stack them all in. So he said, time's up. And they stopped, and he said, here. And he took the stack of rocks and the jar, and first of all, he placed the five rocks in, or maybe one rock, and then he put a few marbles around it, and then another rock. And as he put the five rocks stacked one on top of each other and the rest in next smaller size, dumped the marbles in around and then the sand, and then at last he poured the water. And as he did that, he could fit everything in nicely. And the point is, if we put first things first, the other little things will find their place. No, they won't take first place, but they'll find their place in our lives. And I think it's a good illustration. Too many times I put the wrong thing in first, and then I wonder why the right things don't fit. It's because I have the wrong priority. Maybe you don't struggle with that. What is your priority for your life? You know, when you set the right priorities, you can make it happen. Which comes first? And I think that what we understand from Ecclesiastes is there are times and seasons for everything. And so I think it's right for us to order like the priorities. And I think God would be at the top of the list. God, what is your will? And if you're called into marriage, then your wife, your marriage comes second. And then it's third, your family, and then your church and your community. But I think that depending what season you're in, they may be in different orders. There's time when it's time to take care of your children. It's time right now to be in church. There's time for you to reach out to the community, and there's a sense where there's an order, but depending in which category you're in, it might take first priority or second priority. Priorities. Well, there's more under that, but we're going to move on for time's sake. To manage our time wisely, we must, thirdly, take time to plan. And I think Jesus was talking about planning when he said in Luke 14, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth, whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh, with 20,000, or else whether, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace." You know, are we thinking ahead and taking time to plan? What about the demands that I have taken on? Am I able to accomplish that? In Proverbs 21, it says in verse 5, that the thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty only to want. And I don't know what you see in that verse, but I see someone, there's two different types of people. There's the diligent who are thinking ahead and they're planning ahead. And then there's people who are hasty. We call it crisis management. And it says that the diligent tend to plenteousness and the one who is hasty only to want. If I operate in crisis management, you know, it's only what I think of to do right now. Oh, we need to do this, so we quick do that. We really don't think ahead. Are we planning ahead or do we have crisis management? You know, I'm challenged by this because too many times I have crisis management. I do. Careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. That's just another translation. How many of you planned to be here today just like an hour ago? How long ago did you plan to be here? I think for many of you, you were planning to be here all week. Maybe even, you know, some of us, Brother Tim told me it would suit best for me to come here on the third Sunday several months ago. You know, we need to plan ahead. We need to make a schedule, budget our time. And there's a lot of things that go into this. Maybe we're back to the priorities point. But how many hours of sleep do I need? How long do I need to eat? How much quiet time do I need? How much time do I need to work to be able to pay my bills? How much time should I spend with my family? How much time should I spend with the church? And the list goes on and on of the many different things that we need to put into our lives. And how much time will each of them take? I think it's right for us to think about some of that. You know, at work oftentimes I get myself in trouble because I look at a project and say, oh, that won't take long. But when it gets down to all the little details to get everything done and get it done right, it takes a lot longer than what I had planned on. And so I come up short. The other thing that I think is valuable in planning is simply to establish a routine in life. You know, if we get into a routine that works, then things will generally work out. If we get into a routine that doesn't work, things won't work out. Or if we don't establish a routine. Which leads us to the fourth thing that's kind of similar, is take time to organize. To manage our time wisely, we must take time to organize. 1 Corinthians 14 teaches us that in verse 40 it says, let all things be done decently and in order. And so to do things in order, we need to establish an order. The best way to illustrate this is to read the account in Luke chapter 15. We won't take time for that either. But the woman who has 10 coins and loses one, why did she have to spend so much time sweeping her house and looking under the table, in the corner, behind the cupboard, wherever? Why did she have to do all that? Because she lost one. Why? Because she didn't keep it. You know, the saying is, have a place for everything and keep everything in its place. And I know that's hard to do, especially if you have a family or if you have a lot of people working together in a business, or even if it's just you. It takes time to be organized, but it is one way that helps to save time. One of the struggles for us today is that we have too many things, and so maybe we need to get rid of some things, like Jesus told the rich man, get rid of a few things and then there will be a place for everything. Organize. Fifthly, to manage our time wisely, we must discipline our lives. Temperance. Of course, back to Ecclesiastes 1, there's a time for many things, but the key is to keep everything in its place, in its proper time, in its proper place. Paul was talking about discipline in 1 Corinthians 9, when he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. It means I don't do what I just feel like in this moment. I do what I know that I should. And that's talking about discipline. I will do it not because I feel like it, but because I know that this is what needs to get done. And that also means, right along with it, a part of discipline is Don't procrastinate. You know, too many times, if you're like me, well, I don't need to start this job yet because it'll only take 2 hours and it's not down to 2 hours yet, right? I had to think of Felix. You know, Felix, when he was talking to Paul, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, and he trembled. He knew what he should do, but he said, go thy way for this time. You know, not yet. I'll have time to do this later. Procrastination. And I don't know that he had that opportunity. How many things never get done because I don't feel like doing it now or don't get done properly? Well, sixthly, to manage our time wisely, we must stop doing what doesn't manage. We must stop doing what doesn't matter. Stop doing what doesn't matter. Well, just a second here. Just got a text here, and it says, actually, technology. Did that really matter in this moment? No, that didn't even fit up here. How about you in your life? Are there times when you take time for your phone when you should be listening to your son? Is there times when you take time for your phone when you should be driving safely? There's just an endless list of things we could talk about. You know, I was reading my Bible, but then I had a text. I was talking to my wife, or, you know, the list goes on. Quality time with our customers. Quality time with whoever it is. Safety in driving, productivity in work, and many other missed opportunities. Our cell phones may be costing us priceless opportunities. Let's not let technology keep us from doing what really matters. So we must stop doing what doesn't matter. Moving on, in Exodus 18, we learn a valuable lesson from Moses. And I don't know, we probably don't really have time to go here. But in Exodus 18, he was so busy trying to tell the people what to do. And here we have the account in Exodus 18, verses 13 to 26, and we're not going to take time to read it. But Jethro came, and he saw the tremendous load that Moses had on his shoulders, and he said, look, you shouldn't have to be doing all this. Why don't you take time to train other people so that other people can take the load and you can share it out? And so Moses did. Moses took time to teach and to train and empowered others to take on his job. And we call that delegation. To manage our time wisely, we must learn to delegate. Learn to delegate. And that's kind of hard to do. Maybe parents with the household chores, sometimes it's hard to let go because we want to do things right. And when children are learning, things don't always get done right. we also struggle to do it because it takes time to do it. It takes time to teach and to train them how to do it right. But when Moses did this, he found relief. He wasn't so worn out from trying to reach around. And I think that it's a valuable lesson for us today. We need to let go of certain things. I think it's right for church leaders to delegate different things. And we have different areas of responsibilities within the church. The pastor doesn't have to do it all. And I think it's good the way we share it out, the way we've seen it done this morning. Each one can contribute in their little or big way, and it all works out. Doesn't wear anyone out particularly. Jesus delegated the work of the church. You know, he could have stayed here and done it all, and there's a sense where he would have done a much better job than, say, you and I from day to day if he would have stayed here, but he didn't. He left and went back to heaven. He left the work of the church here on earth to send out the gospel and to preach. He gave that to people like you and I. He delegated that to us. And I think that he teaches us to delegate our work to our children and to other people as well. We need to share it out. We can't do everything. Learning to delegate. And eighthly, to manage our time wisely, we must learn to be flexible. Learn to be flexible. And you can say, well, that just undid all the other points you tried to neatly put together. And I think there's a sense where you could say it is, but there's a sense where it's not. Because there's things that we are called to do that we must try to accomplish. But it's like in James chapter 4 where he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, continue there a year, we're going to buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For ye ought to say, if the Lord will, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Flexibility is a key principle, because it doesn't really matter how much we plan and organize, prioritize, and all the different things to put our lives together. Events can happen that just unravel our lives, and we must be okay with that. Are we okay with God rearranging our life, with rearranging maybe it's a day, or maybe it's our entire life? Maybe it's a health issue that we're facing. God, this is terrible. But yet God can be in it, and sometimes it is terrible. But we have to be okay with God rearranging our day. He may have more important things for us to do today. Sometimes it's reaching out to someone with a flat tire. Sometimes it's to touch somebody that God wanted us to touch in some way that we had no idea of even trying to accomplish in that day. And maybe it ruined my plans for today. But are we open to what God wants us to do? You know, also, one other thing maybe I'll just include. It's okay in managing our time wisely to let some things undone. And I think sometimes that's where we get flexibility and letting things undone is where we get ourselves in trouble. Because we set our goals, but we need to realize that they're not always God's goals for my life. In conclusion, someday, very soon, time will be over. Time for each of us will be over, okay? If time is over and my list of things is undone, that's okay, right? But if time is over for me and God's list of things for me to do is undone, that's tragic. That's a problem. My prayer is that each of us would think about, am I accomplishing what God wants me to get done in life? Am I prioritizing what God wants me to do? And if we're not, let's take time to make the adjustments. And let's allow God to have His perfect will accomplished by our lives. Do we have a prayer? All right, let's kneel for prayer.